8-1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot. And it's brought to you by
Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. I was out at Hawthorne yesterday. They've got the Points Bet Sportsbook there. Sample their fine cuisine. Get yourself some drinks. Gamble on sports. Horses, have a great time. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. Baseball's back. Got a lot of baseball here in Shot or No Shot today. How we doing?
A little baseball. I'm feeling good about the baseball.
Give me a couple minutes on that.
Give me a couple of minutes on the baseball. Unbelievable. Ohtani Angel was unbelievable yesterday against the A. So I enjoyed it, man. Day and night baseball.
How about five teams through shutouts yesterday? Mariners, Twins, Rays, Cubs, Yankees. That's tied for the second most in any season since 1900. The only time there were more, 2015, there were six.
I don't know if you have this on your Shot or No Shot. People that need to know, our new listeners, that we don't know what is going to come for Shot or No Shot. We have no idea what the question is, and I don't want to step on it, Shay. I don't. Is one of your questions, Shot or No Shot, does the pitch clock help the batter or the pitcher? Because that is something that we're going to keep our eyes on, this new pitch clock and just the new rules.
That is not on my list.
Okay. But it is something we should keep our eyes on, right?
It's worth discussing. Yeah. All right, let's get started with Shot or No Shot, Hoodrow. Yesterday, we talked to Jed Hoyer about the upcoming season, and Kaplan asked him about his willingness to spend massive dollar amounts next offseason. Listen to this.
When I look at where we are, I'm excited about where we are, but I also know there's definitely some impact offensive potential that we could use. You know, certainly you could always use in front of the rotation starters. And hopefully, like last time we did this, we went out and we spent a lot of money on one top rotation starter. We traded for another, and then Kyle Hendricks was almost a third. And so, talent like that comes from different places. When we traded for Jake Arrieta, we didn't think he was going to win a Cy Young. And so sometimes when we talk about impact, sometimes impact comes by paying for impact, like John Lester. Sometimes it comes from places you don't necessarily expect, and certainly my hope is that we can do both like we did last time.
So you hear that. He wants to do both. They're willing to pay the big money and get impact offense and front-end starters. Shot or no shot for Kaplan, Shohei Ohtani is a Chicago Cub.
There's a shot, man. There's an absolute shot. Now, again, Steve Cohen may go, how much did they offer? $400 million. Okay, go to $500. Go to $600. He doesn't care. He's got more money than all the other owners. So I'm not telling you they're getting him. I'm telling you they are going to absolutely be involved.
They will be involved. That's a shot. They will be outbid. That also is a shot.
But he may look at the situation and go, that was where I was going to go if they had a DH. They were the runner-up to the Angels. With the Japanese community and the amount of money that I can make internationally based in Chicago as opposed to playing for that lousy Angels. But what a lousy ball club. The Cubs might be what he wants. Not the Big Apple's not for everybody now. Well, I don't want to live there.
No, I understand that. But you know the Cubs and you know Ricketts. Ricketts is not going to do a measuring contest with Steve Cohen or the Padres or the Dodgers. He just won't.
Right, but if they... What if Ohtani says, okay, I want whatever it is, 8 years, $400 million, $50 million a year. Tom might say, okay, in.
You know that's going to get topped. You know it will
maybe,
be.
But maybe Ohtani's not the guy that says I have to have the last dollar.
He's not Giannis, Cap, at least as far as we know. It's not Giannis that's happy to be in Milwaukee in a small market. Come on now. Let's not do pie in the sky here, all right?
Dude, I'm going to throw Malnati gift cards, whatever it takes.
All right, that's fine. Like, Cap the owner's doing that because Cap the owner's a maverick. I get that. You think that's what Ricketts is? The answer's no. Let me help you. The answer's no.
Agreed.
Because, but Cohen is... Dodgers are.
But are you telling me that he is only going to be about the last dollar?
I don't know him that well to know that. I don't know.
I would think, based on everything I've read and heard, I don't know the guy, that he's not about the last dollar. He's about the right situation. I'm not asking him to play for $10 million a year. $50 million a year for 8 years?
Cap, we don't, again, we don't know that. I don't know the makeup of the man. Does he look at places like New York and Los Angeles and San Diego and go, you know what, I've got opportunities to make a lot of money here and off the field. And here, playing for the Cubs, I get a true value commercial. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you got to do
Shohei. When I hit him over a true length fence. And when I pitch, nobody hits it over the true length fence.
I mean, seriously, what do you got to offer here?
And I park my brand new car, my Danley garage.
Building your garage for quality.
Are they still around?
Danley.
Get them on the show.
That's why we're number one. I mean, seriously, you get Empire Carpets? I mean, what else is he at? Cap.
Luna.
No.
800-588.
No, I don't. I mean, seriously. He's in New York, and he's got every car dealership, and, you know, he's got the world by the tail.
I got Earl Scheib.
Yeah, exactly.
Paint any car, any color, $99.95.
Would you like to come to the Torture Museum here on state? I mean, really?
Right.
I mean, so that's the difference. I don't know the man. I don't. You hope that he's a Giannis that says, yeah, I like Chicago. I like the community. This is where I want to be.
Yeah.
This is where I want to plant my flag, so to speak.
We'll see. Shake.
Ohtani's Hawkins soda.
I mean, seriously.
I'm Shohei Ohtani, first soda weight loss.
Say it with me now.
Say it proud. No, soda is state of the art.
Seriously. You know, hawking the Hawthorne race course app.
My friend Jim Miller.
Hello, my friend Jim Miller here. They're like, no. Stop! Shay.
Wow. Trouble. All right. Yesterday I asked you about the AL Cy Young odds. DeGrom entered the season as the favorite at plus 450, but he got roughed up by the Phillies in his first start. Gave up four runs. Meanwhile, Garrett Cole and Dylan Cease both struck out 10 and dominated. Odds have already shifted a bit. Cole is now the favorite, and Cease is right behind him. DeGrom fell all the way to third. Shot or no shot? This is an overreaction.
What do you think?
Of course it's an overreaction. I mean, if Florida Atlantic wins the national title Tuesday morning, they're going to call it, is Florida Atlantic the greatest team in the history of sports?
I know.
I mean,
I know.
That's what First Take and this culture does.
Mm-hmm.
It's one game.
It is
one
overreaction.
Game. It's an overreaction.
I would agree with
shot.
You. That is a shot. Shay.
All right, let's get to the baseball changes that we've seen. All of this excitement and optimism of opening day, for me, the payoff is the crushing realization, Hoodie, that there are 161 more of these games. Yeah. You have to live and die with 162 games if you're going to be a diehard fan of your baseball team. Baseball's already revolutionized itself this season with the pitch clock. They've re-incentivized base stealing. They've made some other changes, but shot or no shot. Baseball's next big change needs to be shortening the season.
No shot.
Expanding the playoffs or shortening the season?
Maybe both.
I want that on the table.
I don't believe it is.
They're going to keep it at 162.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, how much are you wanting to cut it down?
I think the sweet spot's probably 120-something.
Oh, God.
140-something.
That's never,
162
ever.
Is absurd. Even the players hate it. Remember Chris Bryant saying 162 is too many games?
No, it was Rizzo, because he said it on this show and he got in trouble, remember?
So, I think both of them said it, though, didn't they?
I don't know if Chris did. I know Rizzo did because he got in trouble
from
the union.
In that iteration, we're talking about 120 to 125 games ending mid-August. Is that what that would be? Mid-August?
Well, you'd start later, so the weather wouldn't be as big a factor.
So you start in mid-April?
Yeah.
Start in April 15th, tax day. So we're like in there.
Or maybe May 1st.
Oh, my God. I can't wait that long.
Yeah, Shay.
I can't wait that long.
It's silly because it's never going to happen. There's so much money at stake. The NFL's adding games. You want baseball to cut 40 games off? Are you insane?
The NFL adding games is different because they have such scarcity already.
They're never. you're going to have to ask players to give back so much money, and then teams give back advertising money. Never, ever going to happen.
Can't you make the argument that the sport could grow?
How does it grow?
The NFL is the most scarce sport there is, and it's by far the biggest.
Yeah, but how does baseball grow that way?
I feel I'm of the belief that if you shorten the NBA season, you popularize the individual games more than they are right now. If you shorten the baseball season, nobody's living and dying with 162 games. Nobody. If you shorten the season, you get more people to be there from the start to the finish.
This, I think it will, zero chance. Could it go 162 to 154, what it used to be? But I don't think that's a big jump.
That's not a huge gap. No.
Agreed. And you'll never get your huge gap, ever.
If it goes to 154, that means more playoffs.
Right.
And I don't think that's happening.
It's not happening. I don't see any scenario where it happens.
But with expansion, we might get another wild card.
I think you're going to see a team in Vegas sooner rather than later.
Vegas and Nashville?
Probably. Those are the two being talked about. I think the A's are moving. I do.
I was watching that game. We get the Angels. Just a sad little ballpark. Coliseum.
Brutal.
Put the horn down. Nobody cares.
Exactly.
Go home.
There's 9,000 of you here. Stop.
Shay.
All right, something else I noticed yesterday, a little geeky, along with the rule changes, was some of the best pitchers in baseball, and this includes Shohei Ohtani and Dylan Cease, were taking advantage of the new pitch com right on the glove. Mm-hmm. So they were calling their own pitches, getting up to after the pitch clock, ball in hand, call their own pitch, throw it to the mound. It was beautiful to watch, and they dominated. Shot or no shot, pitchers calling their own game is baseball's next big evolution.
Well, that's a shot, especially for the veteran player, the veteran pitcher, Cap. If you know that you have three pitches at your arsenal, okay, a guy like Cease will pitch behind, will pitch backwards, meaning that it's not first ball, fastball. He'll give you the off-speed stuff first, make you chase first, and then hit you with the powder river, the old fastball, late in the count. So, I mean, if you know where you're going, that helps the speed of the game, too. All right, here we go. Punch it in, fastball. Here we go. Here it comes, right? So I had no problem with that.
I do not think it's the next big thing. I don't. They put so much into game plans between pitcher and catcher. They're going to want the catcher calling it. Pitcher could shake him off, but they're not. No. For every Dylan Cease, Max Scherzer, 98% of the pitchers not capable of doing it. No.
Because they'd melt down?
They just...
Not confident
just
enough.
Just tell me what you want me to throw here. We went over the game plan. How are we pitching to this guy? They're not... They don't want to have to... Pitch clock. Now I got to stand here. Hold on a second. Now, what was our scouting rule? Like, while he's getting ready, the catcher's looking at his little card on his wrist.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, we go fastball first.
Well, maybe for the Jameson Taillons of the world, but like Dylan Cease, true elite, could probably call their own game.
Well, that's a shot at Taillon.
Yeah.
One of your guys. How about that?
He's a veteran. He should be able to call it in your world.
He doesn't believe Tyon's
going
to be good.
Yeah, I don't see that being the next big frontier. I don't.
I would say no shot because of the pitcher that is not confident in his own ability. Just tell me what I need to throw, and I'll just do it to the best of my ability. Right, Cap? I mean, there's some that you look like the part, but some really do need the extra help because it's in their head.
Yes.
A lot.
No question.
As a former catcher, I will tell you that is the case. That some is just like, man, just put down the numbers because I don't know.
And I could tell you that David Ross, he likes to have some impact on the game plan and all that. And Yan Gomes, Tucker Barnhart, those are defensive-minded guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping put the game plan together. They're not just sitting back there going, whatever he throws, no shot.
We got Courtney Cronin coming up at 8:35 on the Bears in the National Football League. And don't forget, we'll give you the Final Four for our Breakfast Madness this hour. But next, Around the NFL on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
You
he starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Still to come, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin at 8:35 on the Bears in the NFL. But for more, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, and The Athletic put out their newest mock draft this morning. Mm-hmm. So I want to go through it a little bit with you guys. Let's start with the first three picks. Carolina stays put. This is from Bruce Feldman. Carolina stays put, takes C.J. Stroud. At number two, the Texans take Bryce Young out of Alabama. And then at three, the Arizona Cardinals stay put, take Will Anderson. Anything surprise you in the top three?
Not for me. Now, I have heard rumor, but they didn't go get a veteran, so unless they've got some plan to do something else, that D'Amico Ryans was thinking of taking Will Anderson at two. Two! And passing on the quarterbacks.
No, I'm...
I don't think they're going to do that. I do not.
Okay. Again, we always talk on this show about not outdumbing the room. The Texans need a quarterback. If C.J. Stroud is not there for them at two, then, you know, Panthers need a quarterback. It could be C.J. Stroud. And then from there, you know, if you're the Texans, you take Bryce Young at two. I don't think you can go wrong there. Even though I'm not enamored with the quarterbacks right away, at this point in time, take quarterbacks. Take them. You need them. So that's what I'm doing with the first two picks. Will Anderson for Arizona at three? That makes sense. They need a lot on that team. A lot. In the post-Kime era.
Now, will they play the game and say, hey, Indy, give us a pick, move up, or we may trade out of here and you don't get your quarterback? Maybe.
Could be. You are really enamored with Anthony Richardson.
No. I'm not. I'm telling you what the league is.
No, I'm saying that every time you see something about him or his workout times, you're pointing at the screen because, yeah, those numbers are eye-popping.
Threw 70 yards in the air yesterday, hit the guy right in stride.
Okay. And, you know, I'll be glad to be wrong. When was the last time I was wrong about this, Shay, about a quarterback? The Chargers quarterback.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert.
I did not see in college where that guy was going to be this good on the NFL level, but the system works for him.
Todd McShay said yesterday that he was at the workout, the pro day at Florida. This kid is the number three quarterback in the draft behind C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. He said he does not know how to read a defense yet. He doesn't know how to recognize or call protections. He said it's multiple years, but the skill set is insane.
And if you're the Colts, how much time do you have to put this guy under your tutelage?
Do they have a veteran on their roster? Like, who's their quarterback today?
Gardner Minshew.
So, is he the starter?
He would be for me.
I mean, Anthony Richards is not ready to start.
Yeah, he would be for me. And you know that push and pull.
Do they still have Nick Foles?
They might.
They might. What I'm thinking is that at some point, if the Colts draft him, Richardson will play. You know how that works. You're not going anywhere anyway. You're going to throw the kid in there. Maybe there's injury. You'll see Richardson play. But I would put a veteran in there first. The way the Bears have done and other bad teams have done. Put the bad veteran quarterback in there first. Andy Dalton before Justin. The big giraffe before
Mike Glennon.
Before Trubisky.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. That's it.
So four, Anthony Richardson to the Colts. And then this is where I think things start getting a little surprising. At five, the Seattle Seahawks select Georgia's Jalen Carter.
You know, I always thought that he'd be at six for Detroit. Because all those former players that are coaches, bring him under his wing. Let's talk a little bit, kid. You made an egregious mistake in your life. Let me just tell you. Let me tell you about a guy named Warren Sapp. And they sit him down and they talk to him, right? Mm-hmm. Not saying that Pete Carroll couldn't do that with the Seahawks. I just thought that Jalen would be a interesting fit at six for Detroit.
If I'm the Lions, they're at six.
They're at six, and the Athletic has them taking Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech.
If I'm the Lions, that's the guy. Because I can't get Will Anderson. Tyree Wilson with
Aiden Hutchinson
on the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you don't want the smoke if you're Detroit. Is that what you're saying?
From Jalen Carter?
Yeah. You don't want
No, I want the edge rusher, so I got two dudes. And good luck.
So do you believe that Jalen Carter still will be a top nine pick?
Nine. I'm going to say he slides past that.
Oh, so he won't be a Raider? Perfect Raider.
No.
Well, did you see the reporting yesterday? So this is interesting, too. This was in around the NFL as well. There was reporting yesterday that the Raiders would not draft Jalen Carter, even if he fell to that point. And then Josh McDaniels came out today and goes, no, no, he's on our draft board.
That sounds so Raider to me. If the Lions don't take him, that'd be so the Raiders.
To take Carter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know them. That organization has not changed over the last 30 years. They have not. Yeah. We'll, you know what? We'll take you. We'll take you. Yeah, we know that you're an outcast, but you know what? You could be a Raider. We'll take you. Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me.
Again, if I was a Hall of Fame executive, I'm Pete Carroll, I could do it. I could take the risk.
Okay.
Bill Polian, if he was still a GM, I could take the risk. Ryan Poles? No shot.
So after the Lions with Tyree Wilson at six, what else do we have?
At seven, we've got the Raiders. A couple Bears targets come off here at 7 and 8. The Raiders take Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle out of Ohio State. And the Falcons at 8 take Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher out of Iowa. At 9, the Athletic has the Bears taking Peter Skoronski, the tackle out of Northwestern.
I don't want to hear the arms are too short with Skoronski. I don't want to hear that. Because if he continues to hear that, and it's like, yeah, you have a motor, but your arms are too short, you know what? That'll give him extra motivation, I think. And this organization seems to like their Illinois players. How many is on the roster now? Five?
Yeah.
Four or five?
But he Poles likes longer-armed guys. I think he takes the kid from Georgia or the kid from Ohio State.
But Poles did also say at the owners' meetings this week that it's important to him to take guys who are homegrown. He likes having people on the roster that take extra pride in playing for the Chicago Bears because they grew up rooting for them, and he thinks it gets an extra level out of their play. Could be a part of things.
That's a different philosophy than I've heard around here. Remember, for years, Krause wouldn't take anybody from Chicago.
I knew that's where you were going.
Just saying, like there was obvious Chicago. You don't take Michael Finley from Maywood?
I don't like local players. He told me that when I was scouting.
You mean you don't like local players?
Jerry, what about this guy? I don't like kids from Chicago. Too much pressure on them. Wow.
So opposite. Then now you've got a GM that's embracing people from Illinois.
Right.
Interesting. It's different.
It is.
It's like, so you grew up as a Bears fan, so you want to be a Bear, right? That's one philosophy, I guess. Bijan Robinson at 10 with the Eagles.
That actually
back.
Makes sense because it's a team that just went to a Super Bowl that can afford to make a luxury pick. They have a bonus first.
They lost a lot in free agency, man. I think they need a defensive player. But, again, BPA, best player available.
Then there's Njigba from Ohio State, the wide receiver, 11 to the Titans. That's not a top 10 pick.
I've seen him as low as 20.
I'd take him at 9.
Yeah, I would. Again, I'm taking the best player. Do I think he's the best player on the board at 9? I don't. But what do I know? I don't scout in the NFL.
Oh, you don't have to. You as a talent evaluator have a decision to make. Do you want to put a wide receiver in there that you can mold and shape for the next, 5 to 10 years to appease the quarterback? And that's what you'd be doing.
Yeah, I'm not worried about appeasing him.
Well, that would be the reason why you'd pick him, though, because Fields has already said, I like him.
Simply the best player on my board. Who is it?
Skoronski.
Then take him.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's what I would do. I'm not taking a guy to appease anyone. I'm not taking a guy to fill a position. Best guy on our board is who? Take him. Maybe it's a corner. Maybe it's the Witherspoon kid from Illinois.
You say that and let them take Bijan Robinson. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See, you don't think I'm listening. I'm right here next to you. I hear every word you're saying. Let them take Robinson at 9. What? A running back at 9. Take that.
They won't do that.
Cap, don't tell me. You don't know that.
I know that.
And best player available. We like Robinson. You like what?
Mm-hmm. I would puke if they did.
Well, don't tell me like you know, best player available for, on his board. It might be Robinson at 9. Then what are you going to say?
I'd be mad.
You're hearing 5 a.m. yelling.
Danny, we're starting at 5 tomorrow.
Also at 18, I want to get this in quickly before we break, just to put the Hawaiian blue and Cap's blue pill over there. Huh? The Lions at 18 take Kalijah Kancey, the defensive tackle out of Pitt. Cap, can you imagine your Lions with Aiden Hutchinson, with
Tyree Wilson
and Kalijah Kancey?
Wow.
Good luck.
Wow.
Brad Holmes, the executive of the year.
Got a chance. By the way, we got to get some time on the clock here. Give me a couple of minutes on Asante Samuel. Wow. That was interesting.
What happened there?
It's in the Friday folder.
Oh, okay. It's in the Friday folder?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin. We'll get her thoughts about the Bears and the NFL. Cap and J-Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox spoiled the party in Houston with an opening day win over the World Series champion Houston Astros, Dylan Cease. He struck out 10 in 6 and a third innings while taking a no decision. And the Sox, with a late rally, a two-run winning double by Andrew Vaughn in the top of the ninth inning. The Sox got the job done. They'll take on the Astros again tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game with Carmen Knight at 6:30 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs are off today after picking up an opening day win 4-0 against the Milwaukee Brewers. They will play tomorrow at 1:20 as Justin Steele will be on the mound for the Cubs. The Bulls, they need a win tonight against Charlotte if they want to keep their play-in hopes alive. Jay Moore.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Capman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin is with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
She joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Courtney.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Double C?
Not too much. Just getting ready for some good Final Four action tonight in the women's bracket. Looking forward to it.
Iowa against South Carolina.
It's a tough one to pick.
Well, it should do moon landing numbers, too. I know it's a Friday night, but I just think that 1-2,
oh my God,
that should do some tremendous numbers. It's the
moon
best.
Moon landing numbers.
No question. For women's basketball, absolutely. For women's basketball?
I've never heard it described like that, but I'm trying to pick that game and handicap it, and it's hard to go against a team that's undefeated right now, and where that would put Dawn Staley's group in history. It's pretty remarkable what we're seeing right now in the women's game. And how that's transforming women's college basketball. But gosh, Caitlin Clark against Aaliyah Boston, that's the matchup everybody was waiting for.
Cap, I need you to, before you cross the cheddar curtain, I'm going to need you to put a little money down on South Carolina, sprinkle a little bit on South Carolina. That's going to be a hell of a matchup, though, for sure. But sprinkle a little bit. You don't believe me?
Okay. What's the line?
That doesn't matter. Just put it on South Carolina. They're going to be good. But it's going to be a very entertaining game, Courtney. You are correct about that. Could you tell us what you learned from those meetings around the NFL and the Bears? Anything that stood out most?
Yeah, I mean, when we get to talk with Matt Eberflus, with Kevin Warren, with Ryan Poles, just about the direction that this team is going after the trade of the number one overall pick and after free agency, it's a little bit more of the same in terms of the methodical approach and realizing that you can't fill every void on this roster in one off season. But the doubling down on the commitment to Justin Fields, I think, is, you know, probably the forefront of where this team is, and realizing that if you don't build around him, you're probably not going to have success. And that's pretty apparent just with what they did with DJ Moore. And I think we really learned about that from Matt Eberflus during the coaches' breakfast, I believe it was Tuesday this week, because, you know, when he was asked about, like, do you envision everything, you know, did you when you traded the pick, does that mean that you believe that the passing game struggles were more because of what's around Fields more than just like Fields himself? You know, we talk about him holding onto the ball too long. And I think that Eberflus's answer was kind of revealing that, yes, they do know. They're never going to say, yeah, we were a talent deficient team last year. We hung him out there to dry. And now you have to undo that. Now you have to put pieces around him because, you know, they would have moved on. If they really didn't think that Justin Fields could be a better quarterback and reach his potential with resources and the in investments around him, they would have probably not traded the number one overall pick and taken a quarterback and started over. I mean, that was two scenarios there for them, keep Fields or go get another quarterback, and we never felt like there was real tangibility behind them going to draft, whether it's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, whatever, because Fields showed them enough to know, hey, if you put the right pieces around him next year, things could look very different. And that's the approach that now that the dust has settled and you hear from Matt Eberflus about, you know, where they are in this process, they're comfortable with their choice. And I think that for the Bears, it's a good spot to be in. And then on top of that, I mean, the one thing I thought from Kevin Warren was really interesting is that you know, for a 3-14 team coming off, you know, that season, there's more excitement than he's ever been around for a group that had a very bad losing season, you know, the worst in the NFL. So it'll be interesting to see what that does to move this thing forward and how they can hit on their draft picks and what this roster looks like a month from now.
If I said to you the commissioner walks up and says, with the 9th pick, the Chicago Bears select Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas, what would your reaction be?
I mean, he's the best running back in the draft. We know that. I would be shocked because I think that they would trade out of that spot before drafting Bijan Robinson. And it's not to say that the backfield is solved by any stretch with Deontay Foreman, Khalil Herbert, and some of the other pieces that they have in there, Tristan Ebner, Darrington Evans, if they bring him back. All of those things said, you can still go get a complementary piece in the draft in one of the later rounds. Bijan Robinson is a terrific player, and he probably will be available to them at 9. I just can't see them spending draft capital like that, even if it is best player available. Remember, Ryan Pohl said there were 6 or 7 players that they evaluated would be worthy of their number one overall pick when they were deciding to trade back to number 9. And we asked him about that again. Like, do you still see that many players that are there for you at 9? And they are comfortable with their options right now. I just don't know, when you think about how many holes they have to fill, having a sturdy running game is probably more of a priority than going all in and getting the best rusher in the draft right now when you can fill that need somewhere else.
Courtney Cronin with us on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, I need your help with Lamar Jackson. This is not going well. It's just when you're clapping back at just random, you know, eggs on Twitter, this is not good. Like, he says lately, the last couple of days, let's get real. I'd rather have 100% of my PCL than go out there and play horribly, forcing myself to put my guys in a bad situation. Now, that's selfish to me because someone's saying, hey, you're sitting out because of the money. You know, all of this is not going well. And what, from based on your reporting, what have you heard lately about Lamar Jackson? Will he be a Raven when the season starts or not?
I do not think he will be. I think this is somebody who is dug in and very much built upon principle. And that's the reason that you haven't seen any sort of movement. And you're starting to see the frustrations play out in real time. I credit Lamar for letting us hear from him the day that he dropped his trade or publicly addresses, hey, I requested a trade on March 2nd. And that was Monday of this week when he lets us know that, when John Harbaugh is literally about to sit down at owners meeting. So he's got a mole in the room. That's pretty clear. But I, on top of that, this isn't going the way that he expected it to, because by now he probably felt he would have had somebody giving him an offer sheet that he could take back to the Ravens, and whether they match it or let him walk. and now the options are running out. I talked to some people around there, like, how is this going to play out? Just, like, go ahead and forecast this to me to September. And if he doesn't have anybody not, like, if somebody hasn't matched that offer sheet, he's not dumb. He's not going to miss out on $2 million a week, more or less. This will be somebody who ends up reluctantly playing for the Ravens next year if nobody else gives him an offer, if he doesn't wind up somewhere else, or even if there was a tag-and-trade scenario. Like, that's the one that we don't talk about that much. And I know the Patriots have come up in the conversation about that. Well, what if they gave the Ravens Mac Jones and their first-round pick at 22? Would that be enough for a tag-and-trade scenario where you wouldn't have to match the offer sheet and give those two first-round picks? I say no. They probably want a second-round pick in there. But it's an option. The Colts are one. I mean, we did a roundup of what everybody said about Lamar Jackson, from owners to general managers to coaches, and nobody's clamoring to give up that sort of draft capital. The consensus is he's too expensive right now. Maybe that changes after the draft, but, you know, realistically, I think he's played his last game for the Baltimore Ravens. I think at some point he will end up conceding and, you know, being able to sign somewhere for less money, because it's so toxic to imagine him going back to the Ravens this year and doing so by missing the entire offseason program. You can be sure that he's not going to show up for any of the offseason workouts, for any of training camp. Like, if it's the nuclear option, he shows up, you know, a day or two before week one, and he ends up just relying on his natural skills and natural athletic ability to beat teams, which he can do until he gets into a rhythm. But it's tough. Brand new offensive coordinator, brand new offense. They're trying to bring new pieces in. It doesn't set anybody up for success. But right now, I think Lamar is so dug in and trying to prove, hey, I've done everything right. The Ravens have put me in a tough spot. It's not helping his case by any stretch, but I don't know what more he can do other than just sit quiet. And frankly, it's nice to actually hear from him, even if it is responding to people on Twitter. I don't know if it's helping his cause, but so often we have these situations where we wonder, I wonder what the athlete actually thinks about it, instead of the talking heads talking for him. You very much know what Lamar Jackson is thinking right now and where his head's at.
Okay, we only got like 30 seconds. I just got to ask you this. People will give up DJ Moore, this year's one, next year's one, another two, for a guy they don't know if he's going to make it. We got a guy who won the league MVP, and they don't want to give up two number one picks? I don't understand it.
I mean, that's a lot of draft capital to give up for somebody who's missed 40% of games the last 3 years due to injury. Just saying.
Got it.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Get a take that in.
Courtney Cronin with us on the CarX and Tire Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Coming up, Breakfast Madness. We have our final four. We'll tell you who the selections are coming up next.
Thank God one of the seeds went down.
All right, that's
a bad committee. But we get to change them out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a new committee next year.
We do?
Yeah.
Wow, new committee.
Just who gets to do the seedings. That's like the NCAA. They change them out every year. The ADs move on. Get a couple-year stint.
My check didn't hit my account. I was starting to feel like I was maybe fired, and now I know.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Captain Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know. You know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find Bear Down Podcast with Bleck and Abdallah. You need more bears? We got it for you. Bear Down Podcast available now on the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for Breakfast Madness. We got our final four, Cap, of Breakfast Madness. Man, what a tournament. All right.
I just had mine. I just ate my soda weight loss cereal. Delicious.
That's fine.
Got milk all over the console.
That's straight right from the NIT.
Yeah, exactly right. Not in tournaments.
Hey, man, it can mean college basketball insider. It was delicious.
Yes. Not the CBI, just the cereal. Correct. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, let's get to it. We have our final four set. I'm going to recap the Elite Eights. You know, people have gotten on the selection committee about the seating. And I can admit there were maybe a few mistakes, particularly in the cereal region where the 9-seed Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Criminally underseeded here. This is UCLA in the play-in. Got through to the Final Four with a dominant win over Lucky Charms, 70% to 29%, 70% to 30%. Mm-hmm. The 13-seed Breakfast Skillet beat the 7-seed Breakfast Burrito in the Savory region. The Breakfast Skillet was probably underseeded a little bit at 13. That 60% of the voting here went the way of the Skillet over the Breakfast Burrito.
Mm-hmm.
The 1-seed Pancakes got knocked out of the Sweet region by another underseeded contestant. The 10-seed Donuts beat Pancakes 53% to 47%. Now, my 1-seed, my champion, the McDonald's hash brown, may have lost in the Elite Eight, but you cannot talk to me about the seeding because the 1 and the 2 were matched up in the Elite Eight. I will say one thing. I may have made some mistakes, but my fat ass knows fast food.
Well, what about Jay Moore? Doesn't he know about fast food too? Or
the McDonald's? The hash brown had a great run.
Had a great run, but yeah. It didn't belong though. I mean,
it did not belong.
It belonged.
It's a freaking tater tot that gets stepped on. That's what it is.
It's a smash tot. That's never been advertised. Remember those great commercials for the hash brown? Yeah. Never happened.
You're in the potato aisle, and the tater tots are smashing.
Oh my God.
Such a stupid seed.
Still breakers.
Oh no, the hash browns are smashing.
Oh God, feels good.
Bad seed.
Yeah, look at Crotchton in our Twitch chat eating a McD hash brown right now. Delicious.
So, what are the matchups?
So, the final four matchups we will have Donuts taking on the Sausage McMuffin for a chance to go to the championship game.
Okay.
And the Breakfast Skillet, which, by the way, Brendan Riley upstairs picked to go to his Final Four.
Hmm.
He was the only one I saw do that. Will be in the Final Four taking on Cinnamon Toast Crunch for a chance to represent the right side in the championship
game. I think
game.
It's going to be Skillet coming out of the one bracket and Sausage McMuffin coming out of the other one. It's Skillet and Sausage McMuffin for the title. That's what I think.
The donut, though, Jay Moore, is handy. That's the thing. You can get that anytime that you want.
Yeah, especially with the luxury donuts.
What does that mean?
You know, the big stores like, Stan's Donuts.
And Dad Donut.
Yeah, those kind of luxury donuts. So, you know, they have that fan base.
Oh, where's that?
It's like boutique donuts
Dad
now.
Donut.
Yeah.
Where?
It's like craft beer. Southside. You've got craft donuts.
Look it up. D-A-T Donut.
I'm going to look it up right now. I'm looking for somewhere I've gotten really into cold brew. I'm looking, and a lady was walking down Clark on my way to the ballpark, and she was drinking what looked to be an amazingly delicious iced coffee, and I'm looking around, like, where would she have gotten it? Because the cup was full. I was at the stoplight. I think it was from Stan's Donuts.
Stan's, yeah.
I've never been in a Stan's.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. That Donut.
That Donut, 8251 South Cottage Grove.
Yep.
They're very good. They're really good.
Very good.
Hmm.
So, you know what? I'm going donut, and then the other bracket's what? Skillet?
Skillet and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
The Stoners will push that through. I think they'll push through Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I don't think so.
Is that a generational thing? What am I missing? Where am I missing with Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Because I don't find it that great, but then people tell me it's the cereal to end all cereals. What is it about Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
It's good.
It's good. It's not on the top of my list, though, but I understand. I mean, after you've smoked a bowl, you eat a bowl.
What was that cereal? I liked it better. Wow. Was the little, instead of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it was the little tiny French toast breads?
Yeah.
French toast breads.
Yeah, what's that cereal called? French toast something. The French toast cereal where it's like instead of grains, it's little shaped like breads and it's French toast. It was delicious. I thought that was better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Is it just French Toast Crunch?
There is French Toast Crunch.
That's better to me.
So we can vote at ESPN 1000 on the brackets for the Final Four for the Breakfast Madness Tournament.
Okay, I'm just telling you, I'm on this Dat Donut website.
Yes.
And, like, I don't eat this stuff. Dude, their cake chocolate donut. Like, I don't like the airy ones that they look like they pumped them up with air.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a got some heft to it. A cake, chocolate glazed donut. Oh my God. It looks amazing.
Both of our teams won yesterday, the Cubs and the White Sox. And you saw baseball's new rules. Which one will have the best impact of the new rules that we've seen in baseball?
Apple fritter.
It's the best.